Chris Lynch.
Time for Politics Monday. Joining us is Nikki Wagner and Clayton Cosgrove. Good morning to you both.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Issue number one, Geraldine-based South African family to be deported because of their daughter's conditions. It's a sad case, Nikki Wagner. And let me compare another case where Immigration New Zealand allowed a man from Afghanistan who had ended up sexually molesting several young girls but was allowed to stay in New Zealand if he doesn't have any convictions to his name in 5 years' time. I mean, you have to compare, you have to contrast, and that seems a bit unkind, I would have thought. What do you say?
Well, what I say is that anyone who's got a disabled family, I'm the Minister of Disabilities and I know how tough that is for them, and the family have tested their case in the High Court, and the court has found that Caitlin, the little girl, doesn't fit the criteria to immigrate to New Zealand. Now, I know that's tough, but what we're seeing here is the law in action. And we do have a law. It's a law to be rules and to use them objectively and consistently. And I don't know the whole details, but this is what the High Court has discovered. And what I have learned over the years is that we hear all these different cases, and sometimes we agree with the courts, and sometimes we don't agree with the courts. But generally speaking, we don't have all the facts in front of us.
Yeah.
And I think the reason we have a court is to try and get the law interpreted consistently and fairly and objectively. And really, if you think about immigration law, that's what we need to protect New Zealand. We're a very attractive destination for anyone else in the world.
Indeed. Clayton, you were Immigration Minister at one stage. You must have seen a lot of cases where, for better or worse, it does feel like sometimes family situations use terrible situations to try and remain in the country because they know that it's worth a shot, despite the fact the law in this country would probably state otherwise. In fact, it does in this case.
Well, you look, I dealt with probably thousands of them as Immigration Minister. Remember that these people have the opportunity to appeal to the Minister directly, because the Minister has total carte blanche discretion and doesn't have to give reasons and probably shouldn't give reasons for his decision. But, you know, we've got to be careful with this case. I agree with Nikki. I'm reading it in the paper. I'm not the court. I'm not the minister. But you could make a number of arguments. You could say, with no disrespect to the family, they knew they were coming over here. They were on, as I understand it, temporary work permits, or Dad was. They knew their domestic circumstances, and that is as it is. The court judgment also makes the point that they're not destitute, that they can get, as I understand it, in South Africa, treatment may not be as good as ours, don't know. But, you know, on the one hand, you look at it and you say, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could let everybody in to our world-class health system and to the way to our community, it'd be fantastic. On the other hand, you've always got to be mindful that we have limited resources. And I dealt with cases, for instance, where people came from countries. Renal failure was a big one. People came here, had renal failure. We didn't know about it, or they had it when they were, you know, once they got here. And if we'd sent them back, they had no facilities. They would die. Finito. There were no dialysis machines, nothing. No one died on my watch. So you've got to balance that off. Equally, I would agree with you, the Afghani case. I mean, I recall booting a person out to a particular country. In fact, I think, to be fair, Jonathan Coleman, we lost an election. I think he signed the final paperwork after I'd done the work. You know, a guy who had multiple rapes, was over here as a refugee. We'd opened our hearts and our homes to this guy. He was out on parole. And, you know, I did have a bit of a kerfuffle for UN and the departments and others. But my view was, listen, we open our hearts to you. You abuse us, you're gone. This is not one of those cases, but, you know, it's very, very difficult. If they were going back perhaps to a scene where no medical facilities, no money, those sorts of things, then maybe there's a special case there. But they do have the option to apply to the minister for discretion. But, you know, these are hard decisions, and we don't have limitless resources in this country.
Nikki, what do you make of this case of Philip Smith, the man who is convicted for murdering another man, happens to be the father of the boy who molested, goes, you know, skips town, skips New Zealand, is arrested in Brazil with a wig, which was part of his disguise, now he gets compensation because his feelings were hurt in court. Well, what an absolute rot.
Well, exactly. This is really interesting because you're putting two cases together, because in both cases the High Court has made a decision. And I suspect what it does is it reflects back to us that we get emotionally involved. We get emotionally involved with a small disabled child. We'd want to be gentle with them, as liberal as we can. And then someone like this who ticks all the boxes as a baddie, we really want them punished. But that's what the court's job to do, is to look at the law that we've all signed up to, that Parliament's delivered for us and that has reflected our society, and say it has to be dealt with efficiently, it has to be dealt with equitably, it has to be dealt with consistently and objectively. And neither you and I would be objective about either of these cases, but the court has been.
It's odd, isn't it, though? Because Clayton, it was hurt feelings and humiliation that he
they
suffered.
They said that it was his interpreted in terms of humanity and dignity. That he had a wig, he was allowed to wear a wig, it was nothing to do with his punishment. It's not a punishment to take your wig off. These guys took the wig away because they knew it was important to him, and so they said that he had his humanity and his dignity affronted.
Clayton, do you want to comment?
I just look, there's a deficiency in the law. I think it was Phil Goff who made a damn good attempt and changed the law. I think it was Phil, when we were in government, to say, okay, where something's happened in a similar sorts of things. Nobody agrees with people being abused in prison or beaten up or their rights taken away from them, but I think this is sort of bordering on the absurd side. But the law said, basically, if you get compensation, it's got to go, you can't receive it directly. This apparently is because this is not compensation, it's a corrections department disbursement of expenses for some stationery and his new wig and goodness knows what. Now, I think, you know, and maybe Nikki can take this away and have a chat to the Justice Minister, mm. I think in cases like this, this is almost a loophole. Now, if you're treated unjustly, fair enough. Mm. But I think this is on a different scale. The guy, God only knows how much money it cost the taxpayer to go over to Brazil and get him back. And, you know, his dignity, because he can't wear his topes, been impinged upon. Well, I would just argue this. What about the dignity of the person he murdered and the other victims he had? So you'd have to look at this and say, okay, there needs to be a sanction if somebody is abused. We shouldn't be abusing, beating people up, abusing their human rights. But the question is, should this bloke get three grand for a wig and a few bits and pieces after what he's done, as opposed to that compensation? Okay, it's the court ruled it, but where should it go? And I think there's possibly a loophole that we didn't foresee or Phil didn't foresee, and that needs to be closed.
You agree with that, Nikki?
Well, I think it's something that none of us really thinks fair.
I think anybody thinks it's a fair cause.
Well, it's a good one to take to the Justice Minister after.
Yeah, I'll have a chat to Amy.
Yeah,
I think so.
Do, I think.
Nikki, sea level rise guidelines, I mean, they have been delayed, no doubt, probably because residents don't want to accept the fact that if the sea level does rise, it will affect their house values. That's a given. We are talking about the Christchurch Master Plan. Do homeowners in coastal areas, do you think they just need to accept that sea level rise is a hazard and it will need to be documented eventually?
Yep. I think you're right. This is a really complex issue, and it's something that everybody's struggling with. And not only is it very complex, it's in the distance. People are trying to forecast things for the difference. But also, there's a significant amount of local differences. If you talk to the people in Pegasus Bay down Brighton way, their land is what they call accreting. So there's more sandhills, there's more stuff getting in front of their place. So they find it really hard to believe that suddenly they're going to be underwater. So the key issue here is, first of all, looking at local issues, trying to get some really good, I suppose it's efficient and accurate modelling, because everything's modelled. And so it's trying to get a real handle around the modelling and how effective it is, and then try and think about how we're going to deal with it. There's no doubt there's going to be an issue in the long term, but the question is, how long is the long term?
Clayton, do you think that residents will have to accept the science? I mean, I know in the past you've had residents who have contested the so-called science. I would say probably on the face of it, because they don't want to accept it.
Well, I think, you know, my view is you've got to accept fact and science when it's proved. And if this is the case, then yes, they will. However, I think there's two points. One is, I read in the article, one of the coastal ratepayers groups was saying, look, he took heart from the report, which talked about adaptive management. And I presume by that, having not read the report, I presume by that he means, well, look, you know, okay, it might be out there, you know, when is this likely to happen? Is it 100? Is it 200? It's going to happen, but is there some wriggle room here? Is it sort of, you know, case by case basis? We're looking at adaptations of what could be done, because at the end of the day, you've got to feel for those folks. You're talking, you know, thousands of dollars to deal with those properties. On the other hand, you know, you look at other places around the world, you look at, you know, some of the floods and bits and pieces we've had in New Zealand, and you don't want to see people put in that space. So I think tell people the truth, go and talk with them, and say, and, you know, so they understand that this is real, this is not just being made up, it is scientifically factual, and then work with them and say, well, look, okay, given that, we all accept it. How can we actually deal with this in a way that maybe it is adaptive, maybe there, it is horses for courses, maybe there are ways we can mitigate or remedy, which means, you know, and minimise the cost impact on people. But, you know, you've got to tell people the truth. Sometimes we don't like the truth when we hear it, but, you know, I think people appreciate it so they can then deal with it.
Nicky, finally, you've just been at some conference with Chamber of Commerce. What was that all about?
Yep. I was there this morning. This is about being disability confident. As the Minister of Disability Issues, one of my big focus is to get disabled people into work, and we are getting a really good pick up from employers, and I'm working with employers for them to become what I'm calling disability confident. In other words, knowing what they can do to employ disabled people so that they add value to their businesses, so that their businesses can give a good consumer customer service to people like them, and so that it's a win-win for everyone.
All right, nicely said. Nicky Wagner, Clayton Cosgrove, have a great week.
Cheers.
Nice to speak with you both. It is News Talk ZB.